And it says it's, well, it actually says it's 5 to 12, so we're just about done. But then I looked at my phone and I was just telling Pastor Grayson, well, we're going to start at 10 after. Well, it's 17 after now, so I'm not too far off target, so I guess that means.
We're on island time.
That's right. Yeah, well, if you look around, I think you'll be fairly honest with yourself by acknowledging that summer's over. And it's begun. I forget when it was last week, about Thursday or so, Kathy said, some of you more accurate people know that can correct me on this, but that summer was over. And it certainly was. We spent a week with my brother and his wife. And the first 4 days were delightful, you know, 85 degrees, shorts, and running around the garden. Then Thursday, we had the little 45 mile an hour windstorm and rain. So, but you must have had it here too, because when I got home, I could hardly get in my driveway for all the branches and that kind of thing that came down. It takes me 2 days to sweep my deck after that, and it's small. Anyway, it was kind of fun being off island. When I'm at my brother's place, occasionally we'll take a jaunt down through town. I always like to see my alma mater, especially after they redid the College Avenue there in College Place. And boy, the university campus is beautiful.
It is.
But something I noticed for the first time, there weren't very many students, by the way,
no.
Wandering around between buildings. You know, usually there's quite a flock of them. But with only the freshmen and the seniors there, and from what I hear, confined to the rooms, you don't get much wandering. Anyway, driving through the campus, I noticed on one of the buildings, I won't prejudice you by which department it was, but they had this fabulous answer to all of our questions, even our questions this morning. And it was this, it was a Bible verse. And it was, what does God require of us? But to do justly, to love mercy. Isn't that great? To love mercy, to do justice, but to love mercy and to walk humbly with God. It's amazing, isn't it? It's all he wants, just to be decent people. So that's what our attempt to do will be after we meet today, to be decent people. Robert's going to have praise and prayer for us. In just a moment, I think Elliot and the maestro will give us a little music here. Then Robert will come up and do praise and prayer. Then Elliot and the maestro will do a little more music. And then Pastor Grayson will come up and share some nuggets of truth with us. So welcome, you guys, and happy Sabbath, and enjoy fall. It's a beautiful time here.
Shall be
We'll do it.
Okay. Grab that thing and talk into it. You can take it off the stand.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath, everybody. Hope everybody's doing well, enjoying this fall weather. Do praise and prayer right now. So if I got any praises or prayers, please speak up.
I'm very, 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 very grateful that there's heat in here.
Hallelujah, the heat.
It doesn't look like it based on how you dress.
I know, but it's way warmer than it's been.
Tom?
Well, I have a praise that last Thursday, my brother completed his last chemotherapy treatment, and now we're just all waiting and praying and hoping for a miracle that it will lengthen his life.
Amen to that. I want to put in, go ahead, Patrick.
I'd like to remember Marta.
Marta, yes.
And Brian.
Brian. Prayers for them, yes. Marta was just giving some pretty bad news, yeah. I want to put a prayer in for Jerry and Joanne. Continue. I took him to a hospital appointment this last week, and things are progressing in the right direction, but it's still a struggle, especially with having to help Joanne a lot. So just pray for that. Tim, I know you got a prayer.
I need a prayer. We'll say it. It's spoken.
Andy?
A couple of friends that are facing, you know, real dire situations, family or health situation. And then my sister right now, she's flying, or she's getting to Maryland to help take care of my mom.
Oh, nice.
So.
Mercy travels for her.
Yeah.
Ryan?
I have a praise. My beautiful little daughter wants to be a realtor, and I have mixed feelings about that, but for her personality, it'll probably be a great thing. She's a great people person, and she loves sales and marketing, and she took her real estate exam this week and passed it on the first try.
Nice. That's not easy.
And she maybe I shouldn't say that she was never that great of a student. So it's amazing. It's just
that's
amazing.
A lot of reading. So there you go.
Yeah.
All those times she pretended not to hear you, you could bring it back up to her now.
Yeah. she's so excited and so happy. And a praise for my little granddaughter. I have pictures of my granddaughter. She's not even 4 years old yet. And they had her stood up by the kitchen counter. She had one of those little hand mixers, and she's mixing cake batter for a cake. Chocolate cake, nice. Yeah. She's up there mixing, and people, can we help you? No, I got it. And she's up there with her little hand and little arm, and she was mixing cake batter. I was like, oh.
Well, that age, they have the grip, you know, they have that gorilla strength grip.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So she's very gifted. Usually she's the big troublemaker, but that's neat that they have her doing something productive.
Jennifer had a praise online. Jennifer, why don't you just go ahead and say it? We can hear you.
Well, some of you have been praying for our friend back in Imperial, Nebraska. She thinks she has COVID and she's doing a lot better. So thank you for praying.
I have a cousin in Wisconsin dealing with it too. And she loves to quilt. And so one of the things that she was doing is while she's stuck at home is making more quilts. And there's people commenting, aren't you supposed to be sick? She says, well, I got through that the first several days. Now I'm just stuck at home. So she's making quilts.
Anybody else? Take this time, bow your heads. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this Sabbath day. Thank you for this gathering we have here to come together in your name and hear your word and envision what you have planned for us in our minds and hearts. I ask you to bless those who are in this congregation that have family and friends that are going through travels, sicknesses, ailments, hardships, that you put your hand on them, Lord, and you touch their lives in a way that changes forever for them, and like you have for me and so many others. I ask for a wonderful sermon today with our pastor here. I ask for the continual great music that we have with our musicians. I ask for love and general caringness and brotherly care for everyone here. And that all of our prayers are carried up to you and held at your feet, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' precious name.
Grayson, you have a request?
I do not. Whatever tickles your heart.
Adore you, lay my life before Jesus, I adore you.
Basketball practice with the boys and the girls, but the boys particularly like to beat up on me. They think, no, he's an adult, he can handle the physical abuse. But they don't know that I go home and sit down for 4 hours afterwards, just weeping about my body. So, huh?
It gets worse.
It does.
Yeah, it doesn't get better.
And many of you can sympathize and understand my form today. Then, as I'm standing up here. Before we begin, let's begin with a word of prayer. Just okay with you guys. Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask as we open up the Word of God, that your Spirit will be upon us. Help us to get a glimpse of you and walk closer with you. We ask your name, Lord. Amen. So today I want to talk about mistakes, right? We're prone to happen. Some of us, it happens more often. You know, 2 weeks ago, I was talking to my dad over the phone. My dad does this thing where he likes to bring up things from the past. And it's never a thing to guilt trip you, but it's always just sort of like, hey, do you remember how bad you were type of thing? And this particular conversation, he would just bring up all these things. Like, do you remember how you would always work with me and you would never mix the molding in the anti-molding agent into the primer paint? And we always just respray because of you, spend another 3 hours respraying. I'm like, I mean, I do remember that, but I chose to forget it, you know? Or do you remember a time you set up the scaffolding for you and your brother and you just forgot to put the safety pin in and it fell apart? I'm like, yeah, I do remember that too. And he was just going on and on. I'm like, oh, come on. And the point is, I was sort of prone to make mistakes, little mistakes that kind of had big consequences. And, you know, my favorite one that my dad likes to mention is when I was 10, he and my mom went out and my cousin was watching us, my siblings and I. And I made dinner. I made a spaghetti for not just me, but for the whole family. And so I was trying to set the table for, you know, all, I guess, cousin, can't do the math, six of us. So at the time, we had a free standing cabinet. So I'm sure you guys know where the story is going. And, you know, 10 years old, you're pretty small, especially because my height and whatever. I am coming to the cabinet, and my parents have these, like, stools, right? You're supposed to use, or ladders, to get it to tall things. But when you're 10, you just rather climb things. And so I'm climbing to get the first plate. I seem to get it fine. When they get the second plate, and this thing starts to wobble, right? I'm like, oh, what's happening? And soon enough, it starts to lean forward, and I'm going with it. I pull the plate off with me, and I jump away, and every plate, bowl, cup, mug in that cabinet shatters to the ground. And I'm standing there in awe, like, what just happened? My cousin comes crashing through the room, like, what just happened? And none other than my parents walk in as it happened. And, you know, I bring this up because, and no matter what stage of life you're in, you're going to make a mistake, right? Like, even as you get older, you'll make a mistake. That's what I've been told, at least. We can't escape who we are. And it's something that's in us. We are tend to do these things that aren't good for us. But, you know, as we go through scripture and we're looking at the people that make mistakes, because that's essentially what a lot of this is, right? There's stories of people who make mistakes and how God forgives them. Praise the Lord. But there's an important aspect I want to explore today with you guys, and this idea of the attitude we should have when we make those mistakes. And maybe the attitudes we shouldn't have, more specifically. So we'll begin in Genesis chapter 3, and we'll look at humanity's first mistake. Genesis chapter 3, did I say 1? Did I say 3? I don't just have a sore body, but I guess I have a sore mind. I can't remember what I said a minute and a half ago. So Genesis chapter 3.
It only gets worse.
Is our new phrase for the, it's our go-to phrase for the rest of this year, is it only gets worse. Okay, Genesis chapter 3, 1 through 6. I will repass it, actually. So Genesis chapter 3, 1 through chapter 1, I mean verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any trees in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "You may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." Verse 4, "You will certainly not die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate of it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then their eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he walked in the garden in the cool of the day, and hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The Lord God said to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in a garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree I commanded you not to eat from?" Like, God really needed to ask that question, right? The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some of the fruit, and I ate it. The Lord said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate it. And the story goes that, you know, they kind of receive their due punishment or consequences of their actions. But I want to highlight something important here, right? When God finally confronts them about the mistake that they made, what did they do? Did he say, oops, my bad, that's my fault, you know, I won't do it again? No, they're like, it's not my fault, it's Adam's, or Adam's like, it's not my fault, it's Eve's fault. I mean, it's the woman that you put here. So it's not even Eve's fault, it's your fault, God, right? And Eve's like, well, it's not my fault, it's the snake that you put here. There's this idea of understanding your faults, right? And we know what that looks like. Adam and Eve, unfortunately, this is the first time they ever made a mistake. And they're like every other little kid or kid that you could interact with. It's like, it's not my fault. I didn't do anything wrong. Yesterday we had practice here. And I was kind of grilling a couple of the boys because they're just making the same mistakes over and over again. I tell them, literally, you know, there's a trap coming. Don't go to your weak hand, come to the other side and pass the ball before the trap comes. And sure enough, it comes down, the trap comes, they dribble through the weak hand, and then they pass the ball really late and get stolen. Every time, I'm like, I'm recording this for you guys so you can see, right? So I record it, I said, don't do it again, do this instead. And again, they do it. And it's like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong, Grayson. It's not my fault, it's the way you design his offense. I'm like, really? Because like when this other student does it, they don't have this issue. And this is a tough thing about who we are as individuals. We don't want to admit that we're wrong. Why are we really wrong, right? And this is we talk about the different struggles we have, but one of the biggest struggles we have is understanding where we stand with God and how we can approach him and what it should look like. One of my favorite stories of what it should look like is actually found in 2 Kings chapter 6. So you could turn there and you could kind of follow along, but I'm going to give you the Uncle Arthur Bedtime's version story of this. It's a lot more fascinating than the Bible verse because, yeah. So in 2 Kings chapter 6 is about Elisha, which I got it wrong when I told the kids the story, and the prophets, or the school of prophets. And so the way the Bible story goes is that there were some boys who were needing to expand the room of the prophets, right? The school of the prophets. And they're like, okay, well, let's go down to the river and we'll cut down some trees and we'll get a log and we'll bring it up and we'll expand this school of the prophets so that more boys or men can come and join and learn what it means to be a prophet. Now, there's one specific boy. His name was Thomas. Thomas didn't have an axe, so he borrowed his uncle's axe, right? And his uncle's axe is brand new. And his uncle liked his new axe. I mean, what guy doesn't like new toys? I mean, tools. Did I say toys? I meant tools. Yes, toys and tools are the same thing.
Amen, amen, amen.
As he's borrowing his axe, his uncle tells him, don't you do anything to break it or lose it, because I'd be pretty upset. So he's like, oh, yeah, no worries. I'll take care of it. Don't you worry. He should never make promises like that. But Thomas took the axe, and he and his friends were at the river cutting down trees. And thud, and okay, they make all these sounds noises for the kids, but they're chopping down the tree, and as the young boy is cutting down the tree, he swings back, and he feels it get lighter, and he goes to hit the tree, and bonk. That's not the sound of an axe hitting a tree. And he looks at the top of his axe, and the axe head is missing. And he hears a big splash behind him. The axe sinks into the river. Elisha happens to be with them, and Thomas's first reaction is, oh my Lord, my axe has fallen into the river. Help me. Now, when that happens, Elisha doesn't chastise him. He doesn't say, why did you do that? Why would you do this? You know, and Thomas goes, you know, this is my uncle's new favorite axe. I I can't lose it. I need to find the accent and get it back. Elisha's just, you know, he does something awesome. He gets a stick, he throws it in the river, and the accent comes floating back up, and it comes back to the young man. Now, it's a cool story for kids, but like, whoa, a stick and the accent, and it floats. But the point for us as adults, or actually the point like, that's what we can take away from it is this. Elisha did not hold back the ability to forgive him and to make a difference, you know, to help him come back to a place where he could get the accent back and restore him, I guess is the phrase I'm looking for. Elisha did not withheld the ability to restore him. And I think part of that is his attitude, right? If he was like, man, Elisha, it's all your fault. If I didn't have to come down here and cut down a tree, you know, I would have lost an accent. And I think, and in my own experience with God, leads me to believe the experience that Adam and Eve have in Genesis chapter 3, it wouldn't be as bad as it was if their attitude was different. That's what I choose to believe. I choose to believe that God would have provided a way to restore them if they're willing to admit their mistake right off the bat. Now, there's a couple more stories to look at. I'd like to look at, okay? We're going to go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. The rich young ruler. And verse 16. It says, just then the man came up to Jesus and asked, teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, there is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments. Verse 18, which one? He inquired. Jesus replied, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. All these I have kept, the young man said, what do I still lack? Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away because he had great wealth. You know, as I'm reading this story, right, it's very obvious what Jesus is alluding to. You know, he's alluding to he mentions six out of the 10 commandments, or a portion of the commandments that relates to how we interact with each other. But he leaves out the interactions that we must have with God. And it leads into question, you know, when you hear the story, you're like, well, was the issue? Was it possessions? Or was his how this young man interacts with God? And the truth is, as I'm looking at it, you know, it always causes self-reflection. I'm like, maybe there's a void in my own life where my interaction with God is not where it needs to be. And the attitude I must have now as I come to this. As Jesus challenges you, right? So not just the attitude when you make a mistake, but an attitude when you are now challenged to do something different. What are you going to do? Or how are you going to react to it? The young man chooses to walk away from the situation. He rather just live the life he has. But you and I have a chance today to change those interactions or those reactions that we have to when God challenges us to do something different, to not be defensive, not to put up a wall or to cause a separation even further than the one we have, but to tear down the wall, to grow, ask for forgiveness, or ask for help. You know, one of the most popular stories of Peter is when Peter decides that he sees Christ walking on the water and thinks, I can do that too, right? If Christ can do it, I can do it. And so, well, God, Jesus often calls him out. And as he calls out, Peter comes out and he's starting to believe, man, this is so cool. And he starts to think, this is all on me. And as soon as he thinks that, or doubts comes into the mind, that it's not on Christ, it's him, he starts to fall into the water. But that's the beauty of who Peter is, right? Why Peter can be a good example for a lot of us. Because you and I will make the mistake. We see the challenge and we are exceeding in the challenge. And then we think it's because of our own success that this we're doing well, when in fact it's Christ in us. And when we start to fall, be like Peter. Lord, help me. And what does Jesus do? He reaches down with his hand, picks him up, and recovers him and restores him. Brings him back, eye to eye, and sees him and tells him he loves him. So, why are we going through this today? Well, you know, this concept of having the right attitude, right? Understanding that it's not on us, it's on God. Not the mistakes that we make, but the successes that we have are in God. And we can still find success in our mistakes if we choose to hold onto God and choose to decide, you know what? Lord, help me. And that's you know, when I talk with my dad about the growth I've had as an individual, right? So he brings it up because he's really proud of me, I think that's why he brings it up. He does say at the end, you know, Grace, I'm really proud of you, but he likes to bring up these stories because he likes to see how much I've grown. He knows that I'm definitely more careful with things for the most part. He knows that I think things through a little bit more than I used to. And he knows that there's been a change. You know, a couple years ago, my dad, I don't know how many of you guys are like this, but my dad had, and I don't have heart-to-heart talks, we have like shop talks, which are kind of fun. You know, I don't know if that's a guy thing or just the fact that that's an issue that American guys have. Maybe, I don't know, outside the US it doesn't seem like that, but in the US it seems more prevalent. But, so my dad and I have these shop talks normally, but a couple years ago we had this really heart-to-heart talk that he initiated, and he was like, Grace, I just want to tell you how proud I am about how you decided to walk with God. You know, like, you've left the house at 19 to not do your own thing, but to do what God wanted you to do. And so that, you know, you're doing well now, but I just never expected you to do this well with that decision. And I'm like, well, that was kind of I don't have to take that. But the point I'm sharing is that the success I've had so far in my life, you know, in the grand scheme of things, there's still a long ways to grow. I still have a long way to get better in who I am, you know, but the little success I've had in growing into the person I've become is not because of me, but because of God's work in me. And, you know, as your pastor, sometimes I want to be careful how I say these things, because I'm not trying to say be like me, but rather I'm trying to remind you that, you know, you look at your own life and you'll see that God's, your success that you have up to this point, however little or however great it is counted because of God, God's work in you. And to continue in this, that you and I must cling to him if we want to find the success we want in life, because God is the source of power that we can claim to find it. So, yeah. You know, the end of the story with the first story I shared about the plates and the cups and the things, I was so nervous, right? As my parents walked in, my eyes, you know, when the things happen, and this is kind of funny because I'm Asian, but when the glass shattered, my dad told me, your eyes were pretty big because he saw me through the window and then they came in. I was like, oh. And he said, when we came in, your eyes got even bigger. I've never seen so much white in your eyes before. And he says, at that point, I couldn't be mad at you. I was pretty upset because we had to go buy all these new plates. I mean, my mom was pretty happy to buy new plates and bowls. But my dad was like, we have to spend money on plates and bowls again. But my dad told me, like, there's no way I could be mad at you. You look so sad. You look so pathetic that I had to forgive you. And, you know, I had to help you clean this up, because if you didn't, you would cut yourself. And when I think of that interaction with my parents, and I think about the mistakes that I make, not just with like myself or Krista, with you guys, but the mistakes I make with God, you know, we all know that those mistakes are our own lives. I think about how easy he is to forgive us and how easy it is to be restored. I'm just so grateful. And I hope that something you walk away with today is just the idea that, man, we just have to be grateful for the God that we have, no matter what state of life we're in. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for the amazing work that you do in us to help us to grow, but also the fact that the work that you do to help us restore us. There's many times where we show our faults, and they are very prevalent. Lord, thank you that you overlook them and that you see past them and you help us to grow. Thank you, Lord, for the Sabbath day. Please bless us, keep us, and watch over us. And we ask this in your name, Lord. Amen. You want to do another song?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll bring the mic over back to you.
Happy birthday, Krista.
Happy birthday to you. Thank you.
and they go involved.
Come on, Diego, come on, Diego.
We were camping last night, and we broke this instrument out for the first time probably about 6 months, and we tuned it as best we could. It happens to be a couple notes off, but let's see.
Thank you.
haven't played this in a long time. Maybe you can hum or sing along if you remember. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy, I am telling, he made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Sabbath, everybody. We'll just keep playing for a little bit. But you can mix and mingle and enjoy.
Y'all come back real soon now, you hear?
Thanks, Ed.
Yep.
I'm here all week.
Here I am to worship with you.
Oh, James.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
I think in the chorus, and yeah, in the chorus.
I was just.
Okay, but this is a B minor.
Yeah.
So what's the difference?
What's the difference?
It would cover. It would sound very similar.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Dad, I think the breaker blew. I think the breaker blew.
No, there's no power to the
to that either. Yeah, the breaker for the plugs returned.
Okay, right.
Yes, Esteban.
That you do just
his violin.
In your heart, in your heart, you make all things beautiful in your time. You take my life away, makes all I have to say.